thanks of thee. Yes, we exalt thee. Yes, we exalt thee. Exalt thee. Yes, we exalt thee. Oh, Lord, is that what you come to do tonight? Let's stand to our feet and sing it. We exalt thee. Oh, we. Yes, we.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. What a privilege it is to be in God's house once again to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're getting a real good shower on the outside tonight. I believe we're going to get a real good soaking in here tonight, don't you? How many of you just like to have a shower of blessing fall on you tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them this. May you be blessed in this service tonight. Praise the Lord. Brethren, play some more of that if you will. Now play it like you believe it. Play it like you believe it, guys. Hey, buddy. Hey, you do it. God bless you. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you. Samuel, God bless you. God bless you. Good to see you, brother. God bless you. Bless you, my brother. Oh, let's sing that one more time, if you will, with all your heart. Oh, we'll fall down. We're gonna lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Mercy and love
at the feet of Jesus.
Oh, we'll cry,
holy, holy.
Oh, we'll cry,
holy, holy.
Yes, we'll cry,
holy, holy, holy.
Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Well, it's such a privilege that God has given us tonight to be in His house. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. I want to have a remember Brother Wes Willis and family tonight in prayer. They have an unspoken request. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. If you would remember Glenda in prayer tonight, not feeling well, if you just pray for her, I'd appreciate that. Sister Bonnie Potter says to please pray for Sheila Clark. She's home very sick. Thank you, and may God bless Celeste. Remember that. Brother Jerry Glenn says to please pray for my wife, Deanna, home, not feeling well. Celeste, remember that. This is a prayer request from Brother Tim Perry. He's had some surgeries, and some complications have arisen. Looking at more surgery, so he's just asking that we would just really remember him as we pray in this service tonight. Brother Jim Babb wants to offer this testimony. I want to thank everyone for their prayers concerning a scan on my left kidney, which the doctors for 2 years have thought was a cancerous mass. But today they have determined that it is a cyst and no scheduled further scans at this time. I want to thank God for His good report and for His present grace and mercy. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Dan Dyer says, I would like to request prayer for the removal of a kidney stone. The procedure is set for Friday the 11th. Thanking the Lord and the saints in advance. So we just commit that unto the Lord on Brother Dan's behalf tonight. I want to pray for Brother Philip Priest and family as his mother is on life support and the family has some decisions to make. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Larry Elliott says, please remember my cousin Ken Garland. He's a Christian in Illinois who has had a major stroke last night. He has lost feeling in one side of his body. He's only 53 years of age, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Also continue to remember Brother Larry as he recovers. Brother Randy Babb says to please remember my son-in-law, Mark Pugh, who is having surgery on Friday, so let's remember that. And Sister Sonia Babb says to remember my daughter, Shay, who is having health problems. So we want to remember that need tonight as we go to the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe God's able? Do you really believe God's able? Somebody say He's more than able. Give Him one more hand clap of praise as we stand tonight. Brother Brad Yonts, come tonight. Brother Brad, if you would, lead us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service and commit all these needs into His hands. Love you, buddy.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You again for the opportunity we had to come back into Your house, Lord. Father, we just already feel Your presence among us, God, and pray that You just continue to walk up and down these aisles. You know each person that was going to be here and the need they brought with them. Lord, these requests, I hold my hand. Father, there are many, but no are too great for You and no is too small. Father, I pray, may You just move according to Your perfect divine will. Lord, may You take preeminence in this service tonight, Father. May You anoint our pastor as he comes out and speaks to us and give us words of life, things we need for our journey, Lord. Father, we just love and we just thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in the service tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement. Brother Michael Bailey says we are still short on help. If you would like to sign up over in the library, that is in regard to the Fall Festival. Also, if you have signed up to help, please go to the fellowship hall after service. We will have positions posted on the screen over in the fellowship hall. So remember, if you haven't signed up and you can give some help, please do that. If you've already signed up, go to the fellowship hall after service tonight and you'll find out what your job is going to be. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, I'm so happy. And I mean it with all of my heart. Somebody say, God has been so good to me. And I know you mean that with all your heart. Has He been good to you? Has He been good to you today? Has He done great things in your life today? Give Him one more hand clap of praise. This is what heaven means to me. Let's sing that tonight. What will it be when we get over yonder? Praise the Lord. It's going to be a great, great time. How many of you planning on going? How many of you not going to be denied? You're going by the grace of God. You're going. Somebody say, I am going. By His grace, I will not be denied. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Sing it, buddy.
A country where no twilight shadows deepen.
I like that. I like that.
Ending never light will never be.
Oh, yes, Lord.
It's a city where no storm clouds
ever
gather. Oh, this is just.
Hallelujah, I want you to sing about it.
Of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee. Just
place where there is no misunderstandings. And from all enmity and strife we're free.
Aren't you glad about it?
No unkind words that wound the heart are spoken. Oh, this is just what heaven means.
Hallelujah.
To me.
See if you can find that little chorus we sung here Wednesday night. If you can't help me, let's see if we can sing that just before we change the order of the service. Brother John Cockman, why don't you come get your guitar ready to sing us a song tonight? We'll go right on into the service. Let's sing that. You're going to help me, aren't you? You didn't help me one lick last week. Not one. And I didn't know the song. He said he didn't either. Oh, let's try it. If you can't help me, don't try to stop me. Right? You can't be a blessing to somebody we don't want to be a hindrance to them, do we? How many of you want to be a blessing to somebody? The whole world's in trouble. They're hurting. You might be the only Jesus they'll see. How many of you want to be really a positive influence in their life? Amen. Well, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. At the finish line, I'll see God's face. Oh, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. At the finish line, I'll see God's face. Lead it for me.
If you can't help me,
if you can't help me,
please don't stop me.
Don't try to stop me. Get out of my way.
Don't try to block me.
Don't try to block me.
I got a race to run, and I'm running by. God's
sing
faith.
It. Well, if you can't help me, please don't stop
you
me.
You ain't gonna stop me.
Move out of my way.
Don't try
to block me. God, I got a race to run. And I'm running by faith. At the finish line, I'm
I'll
gonna see God's
face.
One more time. If you can't help me, please don't stop me.
You ain't gonna stop me.
Out of my way.
Don't
try to block me. I got a race to run. And I'm running by faith. At the finish line,
I see God's face.
Say it one more time.
If you can't help me, you ain't gonna stop me.
No, don't stop me.
You might as well move out of my way.
Me.
I got a race to run,
and I'm running by faith.
At the finishing line,
yeah, I'll see God's
face.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Done so good tonight. Thank you. You can be seated. Give Brother John a nice hand as he sings for us tonight.
Amen. Thank you for praying for the family. My dad's sister passed away this morning after a battle with cancer. And the family out there in Knoxville, they're not believers. She was the only Christian in the family. And they were gathered at her bedside this morning, and they thought, we need to maybe play her some gospel music. And they got on, somebody had an iPad, and they looked around, and they found an online gospel station, and they turned it on. And the song that started playing was my sister singing Amazing Grace. And I believe it touched them. I tell you, you never know when something's for you. I'm enjoying these sermons on the lives of the prophets. It's been just for me. I tell you what, I was last month out hiking over the mountain and coming down. It was after dark. I knew Jennifer was going to be picking me up on the parkway, and I got off my trail. And I was stumbling around. I fell one time about 5 feet. And I finally kind of got in a creek bed. I was heading down, and I heard a voice. And it was Brother Branham. And I listened, and it was coming right up the creek bed. And I thought, that's not my imagination. And I got listening, and I couldn't tell what sermon it was. And so I just kind of followed along through the sound. And I got closer, and it got louder and louder. And I realized, that's Jennifer down on the parkway. She's got a tape on. And it was loud, and I thought she is blasting it. She was just blasting it down there, and so I finally got figured out where it was. I got clear of all the laurels and everything, and it finally went off, and I climbed down there to the parkway, and Jennifer was sitting there. The windows were closed, and I said, "Were you playing a tape? Tell me it was the guide." She said, "No," but I said, "Well, was that for me?" She said, "No, I just thought I'd listen to a tape." I said, "Well, you didn't listen to it long." She said, "No, when I got it in there, something wrong with the radio. The volume was all the way up, and I couldn't get it turned down. I finally had to turn it off." And I said, "That was just for me. That was just for me." You never know when you listen to something, it's for somebody else. This is a song that was a request. Oh, and I heard them whisper. They said, how could this be the same man? Killed 1,000 armored soldiers with just an old jawbone he held in his hand. And look at him now where he stands. Look at him now where he stands. No, I had been such a failure. How easily I'd been beguiled. The locks of my hair they had taken. Deceived by a woman, made helpless and mild. Blind now and led by a child. Blind now and led by a child. Just once more, Lord, show me your will. My enemies mock me, they say you're not real. And though I have failed, you remember me still, just once more, Lord. In the midst of their wild celebration, I prayed, oh God, hear my cry. Just once more, Lord, send your Spirit. Come down and strengthen me just one more time. And with them, Lord, now let me die. With them, Lord, now let me die. My hands found the two mighty pillars that held up the place I was in. I cried, avenge me, mine eyes, Lord. And the building came down upon all those within. God had prevailed in the end. God had prevailed in the end. Just once more, Lord, show me your will. My enemies mock me, they say you're not real. And though I have failed, you remember me still. Just once more, Lord. Just once more, Lord, show me your will. My enemies mock me, they say you're not real. And though I have failed, you remember me still. Just once more, Lord. Though I have failed, you remember me still, just once more, Lord.
Amen. Let's stand tonight. Brother Harry sings this song. Let's help him. The dove leads the lamb. I never get tired of this song. Do you? Let's help our brother as he sings it tonight. Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Thank you, Brother John. God bless you.
Sing, come. The elect be in stir inside their heart. Our uniting time has come. We and the Father. Come, the bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside, and the dove leads a lamb once again. It's granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not her own, she's just before His throne. Where she'll reign with her. Of her King.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah.
The token's been applied. He's clean and from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
The evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's still here. Shout of her King.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for the evening light? Amen. I'm so grateful that we have it. I'm so grateful we're still walking in it. Amen. Are you happy to be a Christian? Serving the Lord. Good to be back in the house of God. Certainly appreciate you praying for us in the meetings up in Virginia. It turned out very well. Brother Tim done a very outstanding job. As a matter of fact, on Saturday night, he dealt with the Godhead and water baptism and Jesus' name and all that. I believe it's the very best I ever heard in my life in a single service. So I brought both of the videos. Brother Michael would like to look at, maybe put them on our website, both of his services. The other guy that preached, I don't like to hear him preach, so I didn't think we'd put it up on there.
He was great.
Well, that's your opinion. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Let us look tonight again at the life of Moses. We have a life-changing event that we're fixing to look at. It's sad. It's true. But it's sad. The outcome of it is sad. But it had to be written. It didn't necessarily have to be done this way. But it had to be written for our admonition. What? Read with me carefully down through verses 5. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt?" Really? Made you come up? Isn't it amazing how people get things twisted in their mind? And it can be absolute lies. And they begin to tell it and tell it and tell it until they believe it. And then they'll repeat it and tell others and they'll believe it. Nobody made these people come out. They were begging to come out. "Wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us unto this evil place?" I think I hear some of this same spirit talking today among a lot of folks. "Into this evil place. It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." Complaining, complaining, complaining. Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to speak to us. Heavenly Father, as we have arrived at this important time with Moses and the children of Israel, from this chapter, it will be a turning chapter. Lord, we know that it's written and it happened so many thousands of years ago. But the demons who anointed these people are alive and well tonight. Lord, they're on the people, many of them of the people of this age. They complain, they grumble, they growl about this and that and the other. But Lord Jesus, we know that there are a people who are anointed from the throne room. They have the issuing of the presence of God in their lives. Lord, they look at all the things around. They see it. They see the difficulty. They know there's problems. But they know our God is bigger than all the problems put together. May we be benefited, Lord, by our gathering together tonight as we look into your scriptures. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now, let me make sure that you understand this time-wise, where chapter 20 opens up. This is the first month of the 40th year of their journeyings. In other words, this is the last year of their marching around the wilderness. This is the first month of the 40th year since the Exodus has taken place. Now God had told, remember, these old fighters that they would die. They would not go into the land. So here is the very last year of their marching around the wilderness. It is a year of deliverance. It is the year of jubilee for the elect of God that are going in. But I want you to notice now, as parents have the ability to project teachings, atmosphere, and create something in their children, much like themselves, it's so sad to see that this generation of people that is now saying these words are not the old fighters. Most of them now are all gone. This is the very last year, and they're right on the brink of crossing over. But what you hear is in the new generation, some of the exact same words, the display of the exact same spirits that was in the generation that had died for their unbelief. Now remember, the words that we're going to read here tonight are not the same old fighters saying the same old things, but it's their children starting to say the same things that they heard their mama and daddy say. Now, it's no wonder that Moses gets so exhausted and so wore out and so put out, really, because this generation, he hoped, no doubt, would be free from the same things that he had dealt with for all of these years. And now they come to this spot and the very same thing arises. Now, I want you to notice how this starts out. It is a year of breaking away totally from the old generation. Now, it starts out in verse 1. With Miriam going to die. In this, we're going to find this chapter. Miriam will die. We will find also that Aaron will die. And we will find it leading up to where Moses, it will lead to his death. Because in this 40th year, it is the end of the entirety of that old generation. Moses will not be allowed. I honestly don't know how God would have kept Moses from going in, but I do know God would have never led Moses to do what he's fixing to do. So it is the first month of the 40th year. Now we know that 40 is God's number, as well as 7s, 10s, 12s, 50s, and all of that. So God had told them 40 years, 1 year for every day they're going to march around in the wilderness. Now here they've come to the 40th year. In this 40th year will be a display of great unbelief. But there will also be a display of great deliverance. There will be a display of death, and there will be a display of life, because it is the cycle which it comes. Now I want you to notice how that the Bible says that Miriam died there, and Miriam was now about 130 years old. So death terminates the most eventful life. Just like death terminates the life that has been very monotonous. Here this woman started out, we see her as a young girl. We see her as God is now going to raise up her brother. And her mother sends her down there to watch after him as he's floating down the Nile. We see her appear as the young girl, being a little bit older than her brother, and she runs down to Pharaoh's daughter and said, "I'll find you a wet nurse." We find her appearing again as one who had been identified with her brother in the deliverance side. We find her appearing again as one who took the saints of God and took a tambourine and walked up and down the streets or the sides of the river, the ocean, as they begin to dance triumphal songs of victory of what God done. We see this same woman, though, as she appeared and began to speak against her brother.
and joined a league with Aaron and begin to get in their mind that he's trying to take too much on himself. We see her appear again as she was smitten with leprosy, and through the prayer of her brother, the Spirit of God moved forward. So she had quite an eventful life. But you know, when death comes, it makes no difference whether it's been a plain life, a great life, whether you've been a monarch, a potentate, a prophet, a no doubt that hardly nobody knows your name. When death comes, it strikes us all. So what really matters is not how much you leave in the bank. It's not just what people think about you. It's what you've laid up on the other side. Now, whenever it comes to this, remember that Miriam is also identified as part of the older generation. Now, look, we come from verse 1 now to her death, and we come to verse 2. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now, this is peculiar because Kadesh was normally a place, a well-watered oasis. It was an established oasis and had been for hundreds of years. This was on one of the trade routes by which the camels would come. It was a noted oasis by which the Arabs and the different ones would stop here for water. And it just so happens that when the people of God come through, that there ain't no water. You realize when you and I come to our life, when it comes to dry spots and low spots and difficult spots in our life, you know that God turns that thing around and God's trying us, right? And we know if we can believe Him and hold faithful, whenever we show up in what is normally an oasis, and when we show up it's dry, there's got to be a miracle in the making somewhere. And God is fixing to try you. If it was an oasis once, cannot God turn it into an oasis again? If we just don't lose hope and lose faith and believe what God has said. But what do? They come up to it, and here they are at this oasis, and this is the last year now they're life. So they pass the mourning of Miriam 30 days, and they come over. About a month has now passed, so in the second month of the last year. And they come up and they find no water. They go all to pieces. They are reliving exactly what their mothers and fathers did years and years before. Look at all the miracles these people have seen, and it would seem as if though they had seen God do absolutely nothing. How sad it is. Notice what happens now. There was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together. Now there's no particular leader as it was in the days of Dathan or Korah or Abiram. But it is something that is moving among the body. So they gathered themselves together. Now remember, their mothers and fathers done exactly the same thing. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And when they were doing it, believe it or not, they were gathering themselves against God. Now Kadesh had witnessed the final trial of their mothers and fathers. Do you realize what's happened? They've been going around in this big, gigantic circle. Now, this is the last year, and this is about the second month of the last year, and they come right around back to where their mothers and fathers was in Kadesh when they sent the spies over, and now they've got the same opportunity. And what do? They go in the same direction of unbelief. And instead of believing God and declaring, hey, God's with our prophet, God will bring us out, God will do something, but what do? They fall right back out on the ways of the flesh. And the ways of their flesh was, daddy complained, so they complained. Mama complained, so they complained. Come on, children. They had been all of these years in the wilderness. You think by now they would have grown up. You think by now they would have spiritually matured some to know that God cannot lie and God keeps the promise of His Word. But instead you find in them the very same things. The children saying exactly what the parents say. If you want your children to say the Word of God, say it in front of them. Don't expect your children to be great gospel people. Oh my, and you yourself fill your mind and your conversation and your entertainment on constant things that are what we call fun, and never have no family altar, never have no walk with God, and expect your children to turn out to be some kind of saints. Come on, children. They're going to be influenced by the way you live and the way you talk and where you go and what you do. Oh, what a situation. I hear Moses. I don't know exactly if Moses knew that he was going to go over or not. We know that he argued with God or tried to put it before God again after this in the book of Deuteronomy. And God said, speak to me no more of this matter. You're not going in. That's the final say. But Moses knowing, he had to know this was the last year. And Brother David, they're getting closer and closer. They've come back now to where they were. They've made this 40-year loop. After Kadesh, God sends them out on this great big loop of wandering around the wilderness, and now they're back to Kadesh again. Lord have mercy. I want you to think, children, this is 2015. The prophet of God left the earth in 1965. Here we are, 50 years later. 50 is a jubilee. 50 is a time. I wonder how much longer will it go. But let not us say the things that some of them in that generation said. Well, he wasn't a prophet. He wasn't this. Don't you understand what all these folks are leaving the message? They're right back to Kadesh where some of them were 50 years ago. They come right back. They hollered. They followed the healing campaign. Oh, Brother Man's all right as long as he's under discernment. Don't believe his doctrine. And some of their children spiritually are going the same way now. But let us not go that way. Let us rise up and say the land is before us and we're going to take it by God's grace. Murmurings on new lips. Oh, murmurings on new lips. Oh, my. And the people begin to complain and grumble. Now, notice the setting. I'm emphasizing it, I know, but I'm doing it for a reason. So here Moses has heard all these things from their parents. Now he's hearing it from that generation that God said is going to go in. It ain't no wonder the poor old man was wore out. Oh my. Notice in verse 4, why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness? Now here it is, it's the wilderness of Zin, Z-I-N. Well, they come through various marches and journeys, and they go this way, and then they come back that way. Then they go around and say, where are you taking us? Where do you think we're going? Do you know where we're going? Don't you have a map? Don't you have some kind of direction from God? It wasn't him. He was only doing what God said because of their delay. And now he brings them right back, and where does he bring them to? A dry spot, a place with no water, a trying spot, a difficult spot. Amen. Man, don't look around and say, what in the world's going on? We're in the wilderness of sin again. We're at Kadesh again. But it depends on what your conversation is. What your terminology is going to be. Well, there ain't no water. I don't know what in the world's going on. I'm not sure what you're looking at. But I see plenty of water myself. I see plenty of food myself. I believe the bride's having a revival. But it's not a move under this man or that man. It's an individual revival. A stirring of the Holy Ghost inside of our hearts. Oh my, why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? God said you're going in, but did they believe him? No. To be honest with you, friends, I don't know why God even fooled with these people. Let me break it on down sometimes. I don't know why he fools with us. The way we've done it, we use him like a spare tire. We get in trouble. And oh man, we call on the Lord as soon as things are answered and going good. We hardly ever pray, hardly ever read our Bible, skip church. You know, put Walmart in front of church, this in front of church, barbecue in front of church, whatever in front of church. Don't get quiet on me now. You know, it's the truth. You just might as well say amen or oh me or ouch or something. And yet, what do? We get in trouble. And here comes the Lord again. And he moves by his mercy and his grace and veils us out of trouble. And then when he does, here we go right back where we was. And it's a cycle over and over again. My, are you talking about the grace of God and the mercy of God to us poor mortals? Look in verse 5. Wherefore have you made us? They present this in such a way that this man actually went into the land of Egypt and forced them to leave. He begged God, don't make me go. I don't want to go. I don't want nothing to do with this. God, I can talk plain. God, I stutter. God, I don't make me go. I don't want to go. Oh my. What happened to their bondage? What happened to their slavery? What happened to the whips on their back? Why did they forget that? Amen. Right. Amen. Mama. Now they say, this is a place of no seed. It's dry, it's barren, it's evil here. This message is so hard. You can't live it. The preacher's saying, don't do this and don't do that. It's so hard, it's barren. Only if you're this kind of people. It's not barren if you got life in you. I said it's not barren if you got life. It is a place of seed. As a matter of fact, it's the spoken word is the original seed. We're not living in a place where there is no seed, where there is no figs, where there is no fruit. It's all around everywhere, but it's hidden. It's only for the believer that's hid in Christ. It's that hidden food. So you can look right at it and it might be camouflaged and look like a tree to you. It might look like an organ to you. But to a man who has food vision, he sees that as a gigantic bowl of spiritual vitamins. And you're sitting there looking and say, that looks like a porcupine to me or a possum or that looks like something else. But the man who has spiritual sight said, years ago when Lance and Erica lived down in Louisiana and Carol and myself and listen, Herzl girls, we took a trip down there and it's across the Mississippi River and went across, those of you that's been there, on Interstate 20, and when we come across, I seen corn is real small and there's big gigantic cornfields and they're still there. I passed it, they're going to Texas this year, and we crossed across the Mississippi River and we come across, I see, was up front where she could see and she looked out the window in that vehicle and she said, look at all that corn. Now you know what? Something else that did not relate to corn would pass by that and wouldn't see it as a food substance at all. That's the way it is with the message of the elder, a lot of folks. Look at all that barley. Oh my goodness, I came to wisdom. Look at all that matter. Look at all that body changing material that's in there. Let me have more so I can eat myself to a body change. But if you don't have that vision, you say, oh, it's a land of no seed. It's dry. It's coarse. It's rough. Oh, my, it's boring. It's so sad. Others are looking at you and say, are you nuts? Are you nuts? Wherefore have you made us to come up to Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is a place of no seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Why, of course it was where they were. This is where they had to make their start from here to go over into the land. But they're just looking at where they are. Not the promise. They have no vision. They have no vision of the extension of the promise of God. They just can't grasp it. Now here they really come with the clincher. Neither is there any water to drink. Now I want you to revert back in time, okay? You belong to the tribe of Reuben, you're Issachar, you're Zebulun, you're Naphtali, you're Levi, you're Judah, Asher, Binyamin. Now it's us. It's not these historical figures. But here, our feet have tread down through this desert. We've been down through these mountains for years and years and years. We know every one of them by name. We've been around them so much. On this journey under this prophet's ministry. And now we come up to the last year, right before something big is fixing to happen. And we come up to where our parents were 40 years ago in the message, when you was a little bitty guy cutting your teeth on a message pew. And you're now having a revival similar to the one that they had 30 years ago, 40 years ago when they first come in. And you're looking around and saying, where's our revival? Where's the water? There's no figs. This is a barren place. This is a dry place. What in the world is going on around us? What's happening with us? What is going on with us? And you come back and you go to throwing it back and the prophet says, I believe you're a false prophet. You'd been better off to left me in a Baptist church or a church of God or whatever more. Why did you make me come out, William Bradham? You brought us out here to deceive us and lead us to hell. Come on, children, the same thing's on folks' lips today. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Now watch, God now in verse 6, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. Boy, how many times have we read where they had to do this over and over again? And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod. Now this is not Aaron's rod. This is Moses' rod. The rod of miracles. Take the rod. God's listened and God's listened to their complaining. And now God's fixing to do something. Oh my. But Moses is fixing to mess up big time. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together. Thou and Aaron, thy brother. Now, not only the heads, not only the leaders, but I want everybody there. Gather them together. And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Now this rock was a very peculiar rock. It had no wheels, no legs, no way on its own to be moved. But somehow or another, when they would change campgrounds, they'd look and that rock had somehow got to where their new site was. So this rock followed them in the wilderness, and it was Christ. So whenever they'd leave a certain spot, that rock was there. And then they'd walk out and they'd look at the new campground and somehow that rock showed up. They didn't pack the rock. They didn't move the rock. The rock moving was out of their control. The rock moved at His own will. Hallelujah! It was the rock that God had spoke to Moses and told him to smite the rock. Now notice, God knows exactly that Moses understands in the way that He gives him this command. He says, speak ye unto the rock. Hey, this is a land full of rocks. This is a land that is full of cliffs and all kinds of Jebamusel and all different kinds of Hor, all kinds of mountain cliffs and mountain ranges everywhere. But God knew, He knew which rock to speak to. Why? Because there's only one that issued the water. Let me tell you something. You might want to tell me about all kinds of good men. You might want to tell me about Buddha. You might want to tell me about Mohammed. And you might want to tell me about all kinds of preachers and prophets. But there's only one rock that has ever issued forth eternal life. And that's not a man, but it's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now remember, the pressure's building up on Moses and he's built up anger and frustration. His sister's just died and this new generation is starting the same thing. You imagine thinking, oh God, do I have to listen to this again? I listen to their parents. I listen to their uncles and their aunts and here they are saying the same thing. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth. And watch what God does. God does a peculiar thing. He gives a personal term to a rock and calls that rock His water. His water. So here, you can't be a His without being a person or a living something, can you? So God says He's going to give forth His water. And thou shalt bring forth, oh my, to them water out of the rock. And thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. Now the rock is there. I want you to take the rod. But this time I want you to speak the word. You ever wonder, children, why sometimes under stress and trouble and heartache, you and I speak foolish, ignorant stuff? Y'all's mouth ever get into the rattling gear? Where you ride on, bicker and bicker and fuss and say all kinds of ignorant stuff. And then you go back and say, what in the world was the matter with me? What? I'm not talking about you cussing. I'm just talking about you saying all kinds of unbelief and fear and frustration and doubt and just blabbermouthing. You know, just blabbermouthing the way we do. Now, God had already given a type. Now, Moses may not have known exactly the fullness of what he was doing, but we're looking back now with hindsight and realize that when God had Moses to previously strike the rock, it was in the symbology of God. It was a symbol. He was having the prophet of God to stand there in the stead of God. And the people were in great need. He's going to take the judgment rod, and in the stead of God, he will smite the rock. And when he does, the rock will issue forth salvation, water from the rock, in order to save a perishing people. But Moses is fixing to do something totally different than what God tells him to do. He's fixing to break every type in the Word. He's fixing to be a type of denomination instead of a type of God. Now come on, children, don't get scared. Brother Don, ain't you scared to say that about Moses? He wasn't afraid to write it. Why should I be afraid to repeat it? I'm glad he wrote it. Now watch. These are God's specific instructions. Take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. Now after the rock has been smitten, it does not need to be smitten again. Now it needs to be spoke to, and through the power of the spoken word, not smiting, through the power of the spoken word, then the water will be released as the word is spoke to the people. Oh, hallelujah. It don't need to be smitten again, but speak to it. Now watch, and thou shalt bring to them water out of the rock, so shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Oh my. He shall give forth his water. Now watch what Moses does. Now look at his background. All these years of anxiety, all these years of trouble. His sisters just died 30 days prior to this. He's sharing all this unbelief repeated again. Verse 9, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Now, where was it? Laid up in the tabernacle. Number 17:17 tells us that. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, you rebels. Oh, my. Must we? We fetch you water out of this rock. Moses, 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 this is going to be your greatest mistake. Oh my. Notice this. You rebels. You rebels. You know, it's one thing when the people of God need to be rebuked and a man is under the influence of the Spirit of God. It's another thing when a man does it in human anger. And when a man does it in his flesh, it offends God. I said it offends God. It's exactly right. Ye rebels, must we fetch? Now notice this leader under the stress, under the tension, under all he's going through. Instead of sanctifying the Lord God, he sanctified himself. Worn out by repeated and aggravating evil things of these people. Exhausted from the journey the last year. And he slips up and ruins the whole thing. Notice, David says it this way in Psalms 106 verse 32. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. For their sakes. Verse 33. Because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Were prophets human beings? Did prophets make human mistakes? Did prophets get out of the will of God? What do you say? Should we get a big old vat of tar and let's strip off a couple of chickens and let's throw Moses in the vat of tar and let's tar and feather him? Let's make all the YouTube videos we can. Let's start up a bunch of websites and try to prove how wrong Moses was.
Come on, saints. You'd be just as ignorant as those people that's doing it against this prophet. Now, can you imagine this being told about you? How would you like to write it about yourself? Moses was the one who wrote this about himself in the book of Numbers. Oh, my. Talk about humiliation. You imagine saying, Lord, I have to write that, write it. Lord, I have to say in detail, in detail. Look at him, perhaps emotionally worn down, stressed over his sister, stressed out over all the things that's going on around him. And here this new generation starts up with all their unbelief. Now, listen to me carefully. I hope you understand that sometimes our strengths also become our downfall. The danger of good men falling in those excellencies which they possess. Because we tend to have such faith in our strengths. Well, I'm strong here, and this don't bother me, and I'm weak over here. And what do? We put all of our guards right on the spots that we know we're weak, and we should. But it ain't just your weaknesses you need to watch. Oh my. Moses was known for his meekness. He was known for being the meekest man on the face of the earth. Where's it at now, Brother Jim? A strength. Oh my. Then maybe he felt like, oh, this will never get me. This will never bother me. I'm the meekest man on the earth. Notice this in Numbers 12:3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all men which are upon the face of the whole earth. On the face of the earth. Now, this man was so meek. But where's his meekness at now? His strength was now so attacked and so undermined that his strength becomes his downfall. We all know that Abraham was a man, a great man, that was known for his faith, right? Romans chapter 4, verse 11. He received the sign of circumcision, the sort of righteousness of the faith, which had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them. So the father of all them that believe, he is our father. Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 9. So that they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. But yet on how many occasions was that great strength also his weakness? When he backslid and went to the land of Egypt. Because he lost faith that God could keep him in the time of famine. Don't you understand? Sometimes God may try you with financial things. He may try you with things in your home and see, will you put the word first? Or will you let your needs or what you think? Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do this. I'm forced to. God understands. Praise the Lord, saints. And this man, when famine came, what did he do? He laid aside that and went right to the land of Egypt. And picked up Hagar, which was a thorn in his side, and still the thorn in the side of his children today. Is that right? Absolutely. Notice in Genesis 12:12, it came to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but save thee alive. Now once he gets out of the provided place, he has to fall back on his wife to lie for him. And yet this man was known because of how faithful he was, and how he believed God. Well, hallelujah. Again, in Genesis 12:13, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. What about his faith in God? Now his faith in Sarah. When he goes down to the land of Gerar, Genesis 20:2, and Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took her. So here this great strong point in this man's life became a place by which the enemy attacked him, and as if though this great man of faith crumbled before the testimony of a woman. Amen. Elijah was one of the most fearless
and heroic men of Scripture. But look at him in 1 Kings 19:1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and was all how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw it, he rose up and stood on his own. He didn't care what nobody said. He was going to believe God, because he was... Where's his strength? Where's his strengths? Look, children, we have to be careful. In our lives as individuals, we have to be careful in our move. Don't you understand what's under attack? Our strength. Our strength. Many of these doctrines and things that we believe, we don't even have to refer necessarily to quotes. Predestination, election, many, many things that we believe is proved right from the Scripture. We are a Scripture-believing people, but there's many events that happen in Brother Branham's life. We cannot prove them by Scripture. What do we take? We take His Word. So what is Satan trying to attack? The very strength of where it comes from. So take away his credibility, then makes what you believe basically a bag of wind. Fabrication of some man. Don't be surprised that Satan is going to try to attack your strength. He ain't trying to attack just Brother David Siler. Oh, if we can get David Siler down, the whole message will collapse. Nonsense. If we can get Donnie Reagan to fall, the whole message will collapse. Nonsense. But if they can discredit Brother Branham, and then they try to do it that way, oh, that's the way we'll do it. Think again, devil. Do all the lying you want to do. You won't take it away from the real people of God. Oh my, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he went about a day's journey in the wilderness, and he came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. This strong, courageous, fearless man. Satan had now attacked him in his strength. He don't know how to fight. Notice in verse 10. And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I..." Can't you see that spirit that follows the move of Elijah? That's why all these moves is raised up over the years, and all these preachers and all these churches, they think they're the only ones right, and they're true Elijah followers. I don't want to just follow Elijah, I want to follow the Spirit of Christ with it. The spirit of Elijah alone makes you look at it this way. The spirit of Christ diversifies your vision, makes you realize there's a body out there. It makes you realize there's a body. Peter was unquestionably one of the greatest courageous men of the New Testament. Yet the charges of a little maid, a little servant girl, brought him to his knees. Luke 22:55, and then they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set together. Peter sat down among them, and a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied, saying, "Woman, I know him not." This is a man that would have enough faith to venture out of a boat and walk on. This is a man that had such courage. Yet look, in that courage, when he did not have it covered, when he did not have it protected, in that very avenue, Satan attacked him. I don't know who this is going to tonight, but I hope you're listening. I hope it's going to all of us. Notice, and he denied, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another Simon said, "Thou art also then." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, "Of the truth, this fellow, I saw him at Happy Valley. For he is a Happy Valleyan." Saying that today would be equivalent to say he's a Galilean that day. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what in the world you're talking about." And he immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. God, where your strong point? points of your character. Don't just think, well, because it's so strong, I don't have to guard them. I'll spend all my time guarding my way. Oh, the blessing of God, that I don't have to worry about that. It may be the very blessing of God that will be your downfall. Oh, I've got this. I'm so strong. Lord, this is my strength. I can quote the word. This is my strength. I'm this and another. Be careful, children. What do we tend to do? We don't tend to guard our strengths.
Oh my. Can I go on?
The points of our character that we know are weak. And we say, I've got to watch this. I've got to watch that. I've got to watch that. But look at yourself. Do you ever tell yourself, I'm strong in faith, but I've got to watch that. I'm strong in this heart, but I've got to watch that. Ain't nobody moving me. Bless God, I'm immovable. I'm tell you what, this is my strength.
Watch out, Peter. Be some roosters crowing around your house. Now watch, here's Moses, the meekest man on all the earth. And all this is built upon him. And built upon him. Now the congregation is gathered. Hundreds of thousands of them. Moses steps over. Verse 11. Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. And he smote the rock twice. Now watch him. It shows the display of the furious anger into which Moses has entered into. To have smitten it once would have been bad enough. But he is so angry. And he hits him. Wham! Wham! You bunch of rebels! Am I going to have to do this for you? Am I going to have to do that? Oh, he's angry. It's just steaming out of him. Oh, God. His strength has now become his downfall. He never guarded it. Was he thinking, this is the last mile home? This is the last year. I know we're going to make it. I'm going to make it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to make it. Brother Donnie, don't you believe we're close? I do. But it's no time to stop praying. Because we're so close, it's no time to stop coming to church. It's no time to stop reading your Bible. It's no time to stop listening to tapes. As a matter of fact, we better gird up now because we're right at the threshold. Friends, folks are turning away right now. The lights of the city are right in front of us and they're saying, no, I don't want to go. Now watch how a miracle can transpire when a prophet of God is totally out of the will of God. I know this stumbles people, but I can't help it. It's true. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod and he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. Now in our mind, we think it's out of the will of God. God would not have given the water. The people still needed the water. Now tell what God's going to do. God's going to move in a twofold manner. God is going to move for the people, but God is going to sanctify himself, but he's going to exclude Moses and Aaron from this process. Now God could have, whenever Moses struck it once, struck it twice, and the rock never put out nothing, he stepped back. Oh God, what's going on? What's going on? But instead of God doing that, whenever he struck it the second time, the water went. Can't you see why people can live lives full of sin and hypocrisy and can pray for you and you can get well? And then there's that person is so holy. You find out they're running around with a woman or they're smoking or they're drinking. Oh, I'm devastated. I'm devastated. Why should you be? You ought to know God honors faith. God ain't honoring that man, that woman, Mary or St. Bonifer or whoever it is. God honors faith. What did God honor there? God honored that promise of the allocation of the word, and the people had needs. Do you
Christians think our church is the only one that have miracles. Don't you know Benny Hinn and all these other people out here can have all kinds of miracles? And people say, well, that stumps me. Why should it stump you? You should know that God loves humanity and He wants to see them helped, and God honors faith. And if they believe and they go on the prayer line of a man, they may not know that he's flirting around, got two or three girlfriends or drinking on the side. They believe he's a man of God, so they come through with faith. But if they can be able to touch God with that belief, what should you do? And a real promised word of God sitting under the ministry of true men of God. Oh, we ought to see the supernatural among us constantly. Now watch the display of his anger. Wham! Wham! And then his discourse of his language. You rebels! You bunch of devils, I'm turning out you. He's not anointed, friends, to say this way. It's this. You mean to tell me your people are going to read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy? You're going to read these books after hearing me preach this way, and you're still going to have confidence in this man called Moses? Really? You know why you are? Because you know what a prophet is and what he ain't. A prophet ain't a sinless being that's dehumanized. He is a human being that can make mistakes and make wrong judgment calls, and he don't totally recall everything exactly right. Come on! You realize there's two ways by which we can sin from the commandment of God. One is by defecting or neglecting to do everything God said, or overdoing what God said. Going underneath what God said, or going above what God said. God considers both of them wrong, because both of them go beyond or beneath what God said. Now Moses, when he does this, he breaks every type. Now he's symbolizing that Jesus has to be smitten again, as if though the first smiting of Christ is not sufficient. Oh Lord Jesus. The atoning work was done by the first striking. Now all he wants to do is take the rod, the symbolism of the work done, stand there with the ministry standing beside him, and speak to the rock. And when you speak, he'll send forth his water to the people. You don't need to exert this energy. You don't need to do this or do that. Just follow my words and it'll come forth. But he's so angry. He's so upset. He's so stressed out. Let me tell you something, friends. As a preacher, as your pastor, I watch the three things Brother Ram told us to watch. Money, women, popularity. I watch those. But I also watch burnout. I watch the fatigue of the ministry. Especially a pastor being the ox of the team. Constantly putting up a fussings and arguings and complainings of the people. And I've seen the same thing that Moses saw. You see it in some of the older people, and then you watch it in their kids and you watch it in their grandkids. Because that's what they hear when they pull out of the parking lot. And that's what they hear. I don't like Brother Donnie did that. I wish Brother Donnie did that. I wish Brother Donnie did that. Huh? Now they say it about the evangelists too, but they're in and out so fast, they have to catch them pretty fast to catch them. You don't tell them, let them know. So the pastor hears it all the time. I don't like the music. I don't like this. How about, why don't he get so-and-so? I don't understand. How come he lets this man preach? Don't he know I don't like him? Don't he know I don't care for him? Why did he do that? And constantly, 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 constantly. And I constantly, constantly, constantly need prayer. And I constantly, constantly, constantly need to be able to have a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Because if not, you realize my strength of standing on the word and standing strong and not compromising that very thing Satan tried to come and undermine it and think, what's the use? What's the use? The more you preach it, the more people do whatever they want to do. Why? What difference does it make? Sometimes I may look at 5,000 quotes in scriptures to make sure that I have studied the subject thorough enough for you that you can be able to understand it. Some of you come to church, some of you don't. when you do come, you sit there and snooze, or you're looking at this and that and the other, acting like you don't hear me, or whatever more. But you know what? As long as God gives me strength, I'm going to preach it for those who want to hear it. I'm going to preach it for those who want to hear it. Those of you that want to sleep, sleep on. Those of you that want to come once a week, go ahead and do it. As long as we've got saints that want to be here, I know brothers that are canceling services on Wednesday because folks ain't showing up. And they're canceling folks, they're canceling service either on Saturday night or Sunday night, moving down to one service a week because folks ain't showing up. To me, you're playing right in the hands of the devil by doing such a thing. As long as I've got breath and strength until the government shuts us down, we're going to have it more than once a week here. And if you don't want to come, that's up to you. But for those who want to come, we're going to have church. And we're not just coming to see one another. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to clap our hands. We're going to preach. We may shout a little bit. We're going to pray for the sick. We're going to cast out devils. We're going to have an Acts 2 move of the Holy Ghost. Because I believe that's what He wants among us.
Oh, God, help us. Listen to this. Let me close. Brother Ram says it this way. How many believes Moses was a prophet? He was, and God loved him. When he went down there to the rock, God said, you go down there and speak to the rock, and it'll bring forth this water. But Moses, in his anger, he was high-tempered. Don't you see why God gave him the attribute of such meekness? So the meekness would help offset the anger. If you look at your life, friends, and look at the things, even humanly, the way that we're made up, we will counterbalance much of what we are, of our negative, by the positive things that were there. If we look at them right, but don't put so much indestructible confidence in your positive things that you think Satan can't get to you. That'll be the very things he'll attack. While you're guarding them other things, oh, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. How many have we heard? Oh, I'll never do this. And the very thing they said they wouldn't do is the very thing they have done. Why, they had such confidence in their strength in this garden of weakness all the time. Notice he said Moses in his anger, he was high-tempered. He went down there instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock and smote it twice. That broke the whole picture of God's program. You mean to tell me God's going to let this man walk into heaven? Not only that, Jesus let him appear with him on Mount Transfiguration. That broke the whole picture of God's program. The rock was Christ. You believe that, don't you, ministers? He was only smitten once, and we, notice this, we speak to him now. And I read it today where Brother Bram said, as long as I've got breath, he said, and I, he said, if I become a pauper, he said, let me speak of the original smiting with the original baptism of the Holy Ghost coming out of that wall, right of that rock. I thought, oh Lord, help us preachers that God called men that we don't go back and smite it again. Well, we water it down and make another Jesus and make a Jesus who loves everybody in their own sin. But let me tell you of the original smiting. Let me not fashion a Laodicea, you know, that loves everything and everybody in the world, Jesus. But let me tell you of a Jesus who delivered them saints. Jesus Christ come not to save you in your sins, but from your sins. He didn't come to save you and leave you a sinner. He didn't come to leave you sinning and running around like the world. But the angel of God said about him, his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. They were already his people before he ever saved them. Oh, hallelujah! They were already his people, but they needed saving from their sins. Amen. They needed saving from their sins. Moses smote Christ a second time. That broke the whole picture of God's break program. Burst it into pieces right there. Christ being smitten twice. Oh, but he said God was under obligation. He gave that prophet the power to do so, and God dealt with Moses later about it. Again, he says, let me close with this one. Instead of Moses doing what God told him to do, he went down and smote the rock. That was absolutely broke the entire scripture. Now, can anybody please stand and show me where Brother Branham broke the entire scripture?
Yeah, 30 seconds and counting. 29, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, zero, you're out. This man broke the entire scripture. Every type of redemption. I'm sorry God didn't know about you. If God would have known about you and some of these perfect people that live now in this day, God could have no doubt used you to be a Moses. Or an Aaron or Peter or whatever more. But you weren't around then, of course. So God had to use what he had. When Moses smote the rock, that broke God's complete program. He'd done exactly what God told him not to do. Well, I guess God let him to hell, won't he? What? No? He broke the entire program of God. He broke the entire scripture. Praise the Lord, saints. I can follow this kind of man myself. People have prophets of their imagination, but I don't want one of my imagination. I want a real one. This is a real prophet here, brother. This is a real one. He made mistakes. I'm talking about big time. He made big mistakes. And he's going to pay. But you know one thing I love about him? After he comes to them, God tells him, you're not going to the land. He tells him, you're not going in. You and Aaron's not going in. Aaron's going to die. You're not going to be able to see it. And you know what Moses does? He don't just go over in the tent and sit down and pounce. I ain't doing nothing else. Forget it. If I ain't going in, I ain't doing it. He picks up his rod, gathers the people, and goes right on as if nothing has happened. You taught me a lesson. And tell me, have any of you ever made this big a mistake? So what does Moses do? Well, I don't need for me to do nothing else. I might as well just go, I'm worthy of hell. I don't need me preaching no more. I'll just take a seat over here and sit down. I mean, I've ruined the whole program of God. I mean, I broke every type. I've ruined the whole program of God. They don't need me preach. How could I ever face the people again? How could I ever get them and say God's good and stay with his word and follow his word? I didn't follow his word. How could I ever get up here and do it? But the man had enough courage when God spoke to him and out there and took his rod. And when even after this happens, he comes over to the land of Moab or Edomites and he come over and said, hey, we want to go through. Amen. Most of us would just squall around, well, I don't even want to do nothing. I messed up the bad. You baby, why don't you grow up? Come here and let me swat you where you sit down and change your diaper and put a pair of britches on you, boy, and grow up. Get that bottle out of your mouth and start drinking strong drink, hot Pepsi or something. Let's grow up, children. Sure, we make mistakes. Sure, we fall short of the glory of God. But when we do, let's repent and acknowledge it and pick up and go on. We'll pay enough of what we've done wrong by ourselves without us wallowing in our sin. If God's willing to forgive us, let's go on. If God's willing to raise you up and say, I forgive you, then let's go with him. Verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Now what if God told you that, Sister Janet? Brother Gene, you're not going in the rapture. You messed up so bad. Well, I'm going to go get drunk then. I'm just going to quit. Not Moses. No. He picked up his rod and went right on. So, well, let's go on. Don't look like I'm going to be able to go in. But by God's grace, I'm going to do everything I can to take you all right up to the border. This shows the real Moses at heart. This other one wasn't the real Moses. Don't you understand when people get all angry and they say things and they say things that they didn't really mean anyway? When are we ever going to learn that when people get in that's not the real them?
It's like something comes on them and that moves off. And then they, oh God, what did I do? I shouldn't have never said that. That's the real them saying it then. This was the real Moses. And what happens? Then the meekness part kicks back in again. And he takes up the rod and said, come on, children, let's go. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Heavenly Father, you amaze us. Your grace, your mercy. Lord, there's things about you, I must be honest, I don't understand. You'd forgive these people over and over and over again. And yet Moses did this one thing. And you would not let him go in the land. And we know that Joshua was the one that was ordained to take them over. But no doubt there would have been some sort of easier transition for Moses had he obeyed you. The poor guy must have dealt with this the rest of his life. There probably wasn't one day that passed the rest of his existence that he didn't think about. He broke the entire scripture. He broke all the types. He must have felt so terrible. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help us. I know it's going to be grace that gets us all there. But also realize, Lord, when we all stand there that day, there'll be one man that'll stand up that'll truly be able to testify about God's grace. And that man's name is Adam. I've made a lot of wrong choices and I've done a lot of ignorant things in my life. But I never caused every baby to be born blind. I never caused every crippled child. But this one man, the head of the human race, he forfeited not only his rights, but mine. And all the rest of the elect. And grace was powerful enough to reach down. And Adam will stand there that day. And I don't believe Adam will just be living on the outside of the city with his head hung down in shame. Glory. But Adam will be able to stand up there with all the rest of us. Praise God. We know he'll be there because you shed the blood of that lamb for him. He'll be there. He will be there. And he'll not hang around the streets of gold or the walls of jasper or whatever more with his head all hung in shame. And I've done this and I've done that and I've done something else. But Adam will be able to stand there redeemed. Redeemed. Praise God. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us tonight, Father, in our weaknesses. Help us in our strengths. Things that we look at, Lord. Well, I've always been able to make a dollar. I've always been able to, I'm blessed, this, that. I can do this, that, the other. Help us, Lord. We blow about our strengths if we're not careful. That'll be the very avenue. Bless God, I stand for the word. I'll tell you one thing. I'll do this, that, the other. Help us, Lord, to realize it is not what our flesh can boast about. It's the work of the Spirit of God in our souls. Help my weaknesses, Lord, but help me to guard my strengths. Help me to guard my strengths, Lord. Speak to us tonight, Father, individually, I pray. The visible audience and the invisible. How many would like to be remembered in prayer tonight before the Lord? Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Mold me and make me. Let the potter take the clay into his hands and shape it into something that pleases him. Is that what you want, young people? Middle-aged people, older people? You want your life to be something that God can mold and shape and make. But my mistakes, Brother Donnie, sure you've got your mistakes. It's up to you what you do with them. You can wallow in them or you can go on. Lord, if you're going to forgive me, if you'll be big enough God to forgive me, I'll be man enough or woman enough to accept forgiveness and go on in my journey. Amen. We've got someone wanting to be baptized tonight. If they'll come and prepare for that. And while they're doing it, they would just bow our heads. Oh, praise God. Just open your heart now to him, children. Don't just think of your weaknesses, but think of your strengths. We all need protection in every avenue of our life.
Oh God, help us, Lord. Hallelujah. He is the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and shape me. Aren't you glad he didn't throw the clay away? How many's made terrible mistakes and you wish you'd have never done them? Sure. Well, what you going to do about it? What you going to do? You going to pick up your rod like Moses did and go on? Or you going to just move over in the backside of the desert somewhere in some tent and just grieve until you die? You still got work to do. You still got work to do. So let's do it. We're running the last mile home, but let's not stop now and coast the way in. We need to guard our prayer lives. We need to guard our spirituality. Guard everything about us. Amen. For we can make it by the grace of God. Let's sing this together as they prepare.
Empty and broken,
thank you, Lord Jesus.
I came back to Him. A vessel unworthy.
Unworthy.
So scarred by sin.
Yes, Lord.
But He did not despair. He started over.
Hallelujah.
Again. I'm blessed today.
I'm so blessed today.
He didn't throw the clay
yes, Lord.
Away.
Hallelujah. Let's sing it together now. Make it a prayer if you need it that way tonight.
Likeness.
Oh yes, Lord.
He fashions the clay. A vessel.
Yes, Lord.
Honor.
Yes, Lord.
I am today.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And it's all because Jesus.
Oh Lord God.
How He wants me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall,
oh, my
and my vessel breaks, He just picks up the broken pieces.
The broken pieces.
He doesn't throw the clay away.
Amen. Sing it out, children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This is little Cheyenne Clark. She's 8 years old. I talked to her before church and I asked her, I said, do you love Jesus? And she said, more than anything I know of. I asked her what she wanted to get baptized for, and she said she wanted to do that which was good. How many wants to do what's good? I know a lot of people kind of about kids getting baptized, but let their little hearts be melted. The Bible said, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who knows?
It can happen, saints. There's nothing says that a child can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No. And she's ready. She's ready to give her life and do that that she has. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just bow now. And we, Lord, bow for this, Lord Cheyenne. She's given her, feel like that, Lord, that she's given her heart to the Lord, and she wants to be baptized in your name, Father. She wants to take on the whole armor of God. She wants to live for you. She wants to do that which is good, Father. She wants to do that which is right. I know, God, she'll go into obstacles, God, that sometimes she won't understand. And there'll be little things, God, that she'll question maybe. But, Lord, you're able to make that, Lord, understandable to her, Lord, even at a young age, Father. So we just ask that you'll be with her, Lord, and you'll guide her, and you'll direct her, and you'll keep her, Lord, in your divine care, Father. And we'll give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Sam, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. Let's bow our heads together and we'll pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us, Lord. Lord, I've dreaded in one sense preaching this about Moses because it's so sad. As I've been looking at it, studying it, just broke my heart looking at him under all the stress and anxiety, all the years, come right down to the last leg of the journey. And that's when he made his mistake. And a mistake that would cost him so dearly that he would not be able to go over into the land. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, we don't want to just run well 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But Father, we want to keep on running well to the very end. For you said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Father, we don't want to be fervent when we're young and have such zeal when we're young. And as we become older, kind of settle down and cool off and lose our desire for you, Lord. But we want to burn, burn, burn. Let the Spirit of God, I pray, catch each heart aflame, Father. Oh, grant it, Lord. Take this word that we've heard tonight, Lord Jesus. May we learn two of the greatest men that ever lived on the earth. Yet, Father, when they've done wrong, they had to pay for that wrong. It shows us that you do not deal with people the way man does. You do not have respect of persons. When Moses did wrong, Moses must pay. And because where he walked was such a high place, the price he would have to pay would be so high. Help us to realize, Father, if we truly are walking in high places, if we sin and do wrong, we're not winked at. It's not that it's hid under the rug, so to speak. Because of that place we possess and profess that we have, it is a great requirement to live a great life. Help us, Lord. We love you tonight. These types of examples don't make us shout. They don't make us rejoice. It makes us think and ponder. Lord, I pray you would help each of us to look at ourselves and ponder. Lord, I do myself constantly. As I see a lot of preachers, and they do well in the earlier years, the 20s, 30s, 40s. Many of them, they go to messing up when they get older. The 60s or 70s or on it. I just don't understand it, Lord. Maybe they get slack. They just get cool a little bit. I don't know what happens. Oh, Lord, keep me. Keep me as I get older, Lord God. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Won't you do it, Father? Help us, Lord, that we'll have our confidence and our trust in you right until the very last breath leaves our body. Grant it, Lord Jesus. And the saints said, how many wants to be faithful all the way? All the way? Not just when you're young, 30s, 40s, 50s, but you go get up to 60 or 70, if the Lord tarries, we get to be that age. By the time we want to be faithful, right down to the very end. We don't want to come this close to the journey. Moses that close to where he could see the land. And yet because of this, because of a strength, and Satan come right in and hit him under that and knocked the whole program of God out of line. But aren't you glad when man messes up, God still goes right on? John Wesley said it this way. God takes and buries his workmen, but the work of God keeps right on going. Praise the Lord. God took Brother Branham, but guess what? The message is still going on. The ministry didn't stop when Brother Branham stopped. God still got a ministry here. The ministry didn't stop when Jesus ascended to heaven. He's still got a ministry. Praise God. God bless you. Turn and shake hands with somebody. Tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Been good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you, saints. See you this weekend. Let's come back expecting the Lord to speak to our hearts. I understand Brother Matt had two wonderful services. Amen. Always hear good results when he's here. Certainly appreciate men coming to speak the word, don't you? To help you and bless you. God bless you, Harry. Sing it for us as we go. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord.
If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I'll see God's face. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I'll see God's face. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I'll see God's face. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I see God's face. I've been running for Jesus a long time, running both night and day. I don't have time for idle talk. It caused me to lose this race. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. You're not gonna block me. Got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I'll see God's face.